my chouchou, as we say it in French. Like, he's still
my chouchou. Oh la la!
Close to my heart, obviously.
What does that mean?
It's like the player that you have a soft spot for.
Okay. Mm.
So he's still my chouchou, but let's step it up.
How do you feel about Arnaud Tanas?
I think he should be starting.
Yeah, see, I knew he was going to say some bullshit like that.
It's not bullshit at all.
We here!
Yes, sir!
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to episode 72 of the 6-Yard Box Podcast, where Arsenal look back to their best, City look back to their worst, and Toronto FC, as always, lads, are in absolute shambles.
Mm.
We're here for a 3-man pod today. The lovely Miles Alberga is sick, unfortunately. So I'm in his control seat right now.
Big switch.
I don't know how this is going to go, but we're going to see. I'm here with the lovely Antoine across from me.
Hello, everyone.
And Blake to my left today. How are we feeling, lads?
You didn't get the lovely, so.
It's okay.
How are you feeling?
Good.
Yeah.
I think I'm good.
You think you're good?
Yeah, come back.
After the performance, you're good.
After the performance, I am good. The double performance,
Performances,
actually.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I'm feeling good. Arsenal's doing good. Coming back from my trip. My trip was good.
It's great.
Lovely. Lovely stuff.
Very good.
What about you guys?
You know, all my teams won all their games. So.
All your teams.
No, we need to talk about this.
Oh, we will talk about this.
No.
Because now you're trying to gaslight me.
Absolutely. We're talking about this.
Because now you're trying to gaslight me into saying that I'm not a big fan. And it's quite ridiculous, if I'm being honest.
I kind of agree with Blake on this one. There's a difference. And we'll get into it. We'll get into it later.
Okay. Yes, we will. We have Champions League to talk about. We have Premier League to talk about. Lots of topics to get into. La Liga is also heating up.
It is.
I haven't watched the highlights though.
Barcelona crumbling.
Y'all are on. I did see that they're on the same amount of points as Javi last year.
Are they? I didn't even know that. Wow.
Really?
Like they're the same point total with Javi and with Flick. So
I just know they were 7 points ahead and now they are, I believe, just 1 point ahead with a game in hand
and
for
Real Madrid
have a game in hand. Yeah. Yeah. So they are potentially second now in the La Liga. So it'll be interesting to see how that pans out.
Big stuff. Well, let's start with Champions League because it was almost a week ago now. As I always say, we shouldn't take too long on it, but we probably will.
We can try and not take long.
Yeah, we can try.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, we're going to get straight into...
We're
going to get straight into PSG.
That's...
Go ahead. Your team fucking sucks, dude.
It fucking reeks, dude. I don't even know what to say. I've said what I needed to say at this point. There's nothing. We just don't have killers in our team. We don't have the guy. We're too nice. We're too nice. You look at the starting 11. Nobody is nobody. There's no killer. Safonov, goalkeeper. He's not intimidating anybody.
Who?
Thank you. Hakimi.
Wait,
can put
what?
Him. Thank you.
Is that?
Exactly. We signed him over the summer.
Apparently, you said he was a promising young keeper.
We signed him over the summer from Krasnodar. You know Krasnodar, of course.
Russian team.
Russian team. He's a Russian goalkeeper.
Yo, are you kidding me?
So, we signed him.
That's low-key ball fucking knowledge, bro. Okay.
I remember Chelsea, Krasnodar, Giroud, 4 goals. Champions League. That's ball knowledge. Anyways. So we signed him from Krasnodar, and now apparently he's starting over Donnarumma in the Champions League, which I don't know how I feel about that. But then Hakimi. Sure, can be a little intimidating. Not too much, though. Marquinhos passes time. Lucas Beraldo, anyone? Milan Skriniar, anyone? No? William Pacho, anyone? Nuno Mendes? Let's look at the midfield. Vitinha, João Neves, Zaire Emery. Which of these three guys can like scare the opposition? Can be killers on the pitch? I'm sorry, but when Vitinha is telling the press that we tried our best today, we came short, we gave it our all. Like, dude, have we regressed in terms of wanting to win games? Like, what's going on?
We're PSG. we're PSG. Where the
fucking seriously,
standards?
What?
You know what's so fucking stupid is they're still like 7 points up in the league.
Of course, brother. It's fucking PSG.
Because no.
What in the Champions League?
In the Champions League is different.
No, I know. I'm just saying.
If
like,
we're, If we start regressing in the league, then there's a fucking problem.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But no, Vitinha's telling the press after the game, we tried our best. We gave it our all. I don't want that.
No.
I want people to... It's not enough.
Mm-hmm.
Vitinha said, we tried our best. We couldn't do anything more. I want someone to say, we tried, but we didn't try hard enough. We need to do better next time.
Yeah.
No one in that team is able to I look at that team and I don't see a captain. Kimpembe is injured. So that's one guy that I see as a captain, as a true captain, a true leader of that team. But right now, apart from Marquinhos, who again is past his time and sure has a lot of experience in center back and in Champions League, mm-hmm. but he's just come on, the rest around him is just no, they're too nice.
Mm.
We're a team of nice guys.
Mm.
We need the Declan Rices in there.
Wow.
We need the
Declan Rices
in
that.
The Salibas in there.
Mm.
You know? Like those intimidating players. The players that the opposition team looks at and targets, be like, yeah, this guy could be a real problem. Mm-hmm. Right now, we don't have anybody.
Like with Sandro Martinez.
Let's not get too ahead of ourselves here, please.
I don't think anyone's very intimidated. Like, but no, that's fair.
An opposition team looks at PSG squad.
You're not scared, Chad.
You're not scared. No. Maybe Barcola can sometimes produce a little moment of magic. Perhaps I was a little too high on him at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, and Zaire Emery and John Evans and Marquinhos.
Guys, this season feels different, guys. I'm telling you. It just feels different.
He's still my chouchou, as we say it in French. Like, he's still
my chouchou!
Close to my heart, obviously.
What does that mean?
It's like the player that you have a soft spot for.
Okay.
Mm. So he's still my chouchou, but let's step it up.
How do you feel about Arnaud Tanas?
I think he should be starting.
Yeah, see, I knew he was going to say some bullshit that.
It's not bullshit at all. You won the Olympics with Spain, so you played on a decently high level.
Oh, was he playing? The one that was in it?
Yeah, he was the one in net. When
where is he from? Was he...
He's, what do you mean?
Where'd you get him from?
From Barcelona. Okay. Barcelona. Yeah, so yeah, he's played in decently big games before, and in a time where you need, or where you show that the goalkeeping position is not the best in your squad, even though you have Donnarumma, who's supposed to be one of the best goalkeepers mm-hmm. in Europe,
yeah.
replacing him with Safonov, who is unproven in every single sense of the word, is insane to me, especially when you sign someone like Arnaud Tanas a year ago and that you promised him regular, like a rotation. It's like that guy you sign on career mode and you're like, yeah, like you'll be, you're a squad player. Like you'll rotate with the first team.
Yeah.
Once in a while. Now Arnaud Tanas has no business in our team, and he should leave for his sake because he truly has a lot of potential. I saw it last season.
What about Axel Tape Cobrisa?
Brother, I'm sorry, I do not know who that is.
Oh, wow. He doesn't have a face on FOTMOM, okay. So
how old is he?
He is 17.
Yeah,
probably part of your academy.
Yeah, maybe one to look out for in the future.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah,
buy low.
Mm. Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
Buy low. Like Leonard's little boys needs to scout low.
Okay.
Needs to buy low. Anyways, I think it's enough PSG talk. Okay. I don't want to bore the
No,
the
it's audience. Okay.
Well, okay, so Bayern didn't even play that
no,
well.
No, not at
game.
All. That's
and
the
we
thing.
Didn't even give context here. Bayern beat you guys 1-0 in a underwhelmed
in
performance
a
for both
dead
teams.
Fucking game. No team played
yeah.
well. It
I
was
didn't
one
watch
of
that.
The worst football great. Matches I've seen this
and,
year.
And how what are what's their position in the Champions League table now?
PSG?
25th,
right below Real Madrid at 24.
Wow. So you're not even in the playoff spots
nope,
right now?
Not at all. And we still have City to play against and Stuttgart, who, even though
well,
they lost 5-1 this week.
City might not be terrible to play against right now. But I know
it's still City.
Lads,
let's be honest.
Stuttgart is... That's what I think a bit of the issue is. Like, I know I do that as an Arsenal fan, and I'm always scared.
Yeah,
but,
I know what you're going to say. Yeah. I see.
But, like, Stuttgart's in 27th in the league.
Yeah.
Like, you should... You just have to win.
I see Stuttgart. I look at Stuttgart and I see a good squad, like a team that's been together for a couple of years now. They've climbed up the ranks of the Bundesliga, finished second last season. Like, they're a well-rounded team. They know how to play with each other. And obviously, they shouldn't be scaring me if my club wants to be one of the best in Europe. But as of right now, especially in the conditions that we are, they do.
Who is this? Henry Chase guy. Am I
just looking through your whole squad?
Chase?
Am I casual? He's Japanese and he has a crazy hairdo. Like just full.
Not PSG.
Full. No, no, no. He's on
okay,
Stuttgart.
Who is he?
That's what I'm saying. But he started for them last game, I think.
Oh. But yeah, no.
Sorry, guys. Very off topic. But yeah.
And then we have Salzburg. So who we should be. If we don't.
It should be a playoff spot if we're being realistic.
Yeah. And then we'll get eliminated at the playoff spot. Let's be honest here. Because we'll be playing one of the higher teams in the playoffs. So one of the teams that have been doing a little better.
Yeah.
So.
So, yeah. So it is like. It's like NBA style where it's literally just like the high seed versus the low seed.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
Okay. Because I saw somewhere that it was just literally just going to be like a draw. Like it's random between
the playoff teams. No, I think it's pretty like 99% sure.
That would make the most sense,
right?
It
would.
Yeah. So.
Any Dembele hate you want to share?
Oh, my God. Well, here's the thing with Dembele. Again, the killer thing. But.
You also bigged him up at the start of the season. I did. You said he was better than Saka. Did he not say he was better than Saka?
I did not say that.
End
of last season when he was playing better than Saka, I was saying he's playing better than Saka. Let's not do this right now. Please, let's not do this right now.
Okay.
Thank you.
He's nowhere near him, but...
No, the red card wasn't entirely his fault. I think the first challenge... Or the first yellow card is him just talking to the ref, which you shouldn't be doing that, obviously.
Yep.
And then the second one is a challenge that he shouldn't go for, but it was not a foul. I admit that he shouldn't be going for that foul to begin with because it is risky. And if it does land, it is a yellow card. Mm-hmm. But it didn't fucking land. And the ref was tripping. But regardless, he's still at fault.
Okay.
All right. Shall we go Arsenal?
Sure.
From one team's woes to another's glory, I guess. Yeah. You had Sporting last week in the Champions League, and lad, you absolutely cooked them. A great performance against an Amorim system, you could say.
Preview for Wednesday?
For Wednesday? We'll get there. But yeah, I mean, I won't confirm or deny how I watched this game. But I was in America,
okay.
So my normal,
watched it the Julian way.
My normal streaming platforms weren't obviously working.
Uh-huh.
My father has a VPN, which also wasn't working.
Unbelievable. They got smart now.
So you can infer. I'm not confirming or denying.
Right.
But I'm glad I did find a way to watch it because, wow, what a performance. And right from the off, just direct, normal Arsenal that we're used to where we're not crossing all the time. It's not... super apprehensive. We're very direct in what we do. There's a plan. There's a vision. Everyone's executing at the highest of their abilities. And again, 5-1, I don't think it was flattering, but we just were so well organized on the attack that there was like not a lot that went wrong for us, right? Mm-hmm. Throughout that whole game. And then obviously the Gabriel celebration, which he did again on the weekend. Fantastic. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So it wasn't just a disrespect thing.
He did it over the eyes.
Not the match.
Which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, which
still.
Is debatably worse.
Bro, if I'm Victor Gyökeres, I'm saying that and taking crazy disrespect from it.
But do you know why? Do you know why that people are saying he did that? Why? Because when Goncalves scored the goal against us in the Europa League 2 years ago, he did this celebration, okay. Which Xhaka did.
I see.
Xhaka used to do all the time.
Gotcha. I see.
So
I
then
see.
This was kind of like, haha, wow, F you.
He's a stubborn fucking guy then.
Wow, yeah. So he held grudges.
Oh my goodness.
But why not though? Like, if you want to disrespect us, that's fine. We'll do the same thing and you can hold it as well.
Fair enough.
Bro, if you want to do that, then do Xhaka celebration. If you want to be petty and
yeah.
throw it back to that. Don't do the celebration of the guy,
that wasn't even in the club.
Look, lads, that could be wrong. I'm just saying, that's what people are speculating. But yeah, fantastic performance. Our corner kick routines are once again immaculate.
Goodness. It's so terrifying.
Saka, Odegaard.
Yes.
Saka was the weekend. Odegaard was this game.
Yes.
Wow. I'll say it again.
Mm-hmm.
The most creative player and the most creatively adept player I've ever seen in my life. I think he's better than Ozil. I think his consistency puts him above Ozil. Maybe not like if he drops off, of course, but like if you give me one game right now who I want to play in that number eight role, it's
at their best.
At their best, it's okay. At their best, no.
Well, then what are we doing?
Because
it's not the criminal screen you've ever seen.
No, okay. Let me rewind. I have one number eight position that I can fill. I have Odegaard and I have Ozil, but I don't know how either one's going to play. Like, I just have them at their peak abilities. They're both 28 years old, 30 years old, whatever. They're at their peak abilities. Right. But I don't know what performance they're going to play. Like, it's like any normal game. I don't know what performance they're going to put in. I'm an Odegaard in that team.
Okay.
Because his consistency and his ability to create space and hold on to the ball and attract pressure, which, again, creates space on its own, something I've never seen before. And Ozil was too inconsistent at doing that, in my opinion. Like, the Ozil, Kevin De Bruyne debates, I always thought were outlandish. I never understood them. I thought De Bruyne is so clear, in my opinion. Obviously, the high end of Ozil is probably something that Odegaard maybe won't be able to reach. But, man, if he keeps going this 3, 4, 5 years, like, he's...
You're saying pound for pound, Odegaard is, like, the better player.
I do think so, yeah. Wow. I think he offers more.
Yeah.
He helps winning more than Ozil would.
And it's blatant proof that when he was gone, he, like, his absence was so missed. Like, crazy.
And it's the way we're winning now, too. We were winning without him for the first little bit, and then we dropped off. But the way we're winning now, it's that Arsenal we're used to. It's that confidence that is inspired throughout the whole team that wasn't there, despite the fact that we were winning at the beginning of his injury stint. So, yeah.
Damn, that's fucking crazy compliments.
Yeah, I love him to death. Like, I love him to death. Like, he's getting up there with Saka. Obviously, Saka's my star boy, but he's getting up there. Yeah.
Jesus, man. And you still... somehow think United will beat you on Wednesday?
Like,
I don't know how your team could be going through this kind of form, look so good as they are, and you're still like, I don't know about, like, Wednesday, guys. I don't know about Wednesday. I just have a bad feeling, like, guys.
I just don't... I can't go into the games completely confident. I'm scarred from the beginning of the season.
Right.
So...
You also said last week, like, oh, we're definitely losing to Sporting.
I thought we were.
Guys, West Ham is so losable.
They beat Nuki. Lads, they beat Nuki.
Bro, everybody is beating Nuki right now.
Yeah, fraud watch. But anyway, hit my mic. But yeah, we can move on. Just a great performance. I'll talk more about their performance against West Ham on the weekend. Great performance. Sporting got humbled. They need to stay humbled. Amarim's gone. Figure your shit out.
Benfica.
There you go. Up those lads.
And then your day got even better when City choked a Feyenoord.
Which I wasn't watching, but oh my god, that was so funny.
that hate watch would have been crazy.
Oh, I've been so good.
Were you guys watching that game? I was not.
It was during class. So plus, when you see City are 3-0 up with 15 minutes to go against Feyenoord, you go, oh, well, that's a guaranteed three points. Yeah.
What is that?
And usually, no, absolutely.
And when Pep Guardiola, 99 times out of 100, that's exactly how the game would finish. Well, but this is not the normal city.
Seven in a row without a win?
That's insane.
I think six.
No, I think it's seven because it was five losses in a row.
With Liverpool, seven.
Was it five losses in a row? Or was it five?
Five losses in a row.
Six without winning.
Six without winning, and they lost.
Oh my god, dude.
It's actually music to my ears. The fact I haven't texted my City friend yet just shows how much of a good person I am.
And my dad was at the City Trophy Tour yesterday to watch the Liverpool game with all the other 20 City fans.
Yeah, seven. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Need to ask him
that. Seven. They have Forest midweek.
When Pep Guardiola makes those substitutions, historically, you know that game is going to end in City's favor. They're going to be passing the ball for 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's going to be a dead game.
This is Manchester City.
They might get one more goal, but now he can't even make those substitutions anymore, I feel like, because Feyenoord scored three against them in 15 minutes.
Their squad depth is, like, scarily low.
I know.
It's
City's?
Yeah. It's terrible. Like, player-wise, they have players who can play, sure, but they're not good. Like, I don't want to jump forward to the Liverpool game, but
the starting lineup is
horrendous.
No, you're right. Injuries are hurting them right now. But again,
that's not an excuse. Like, it's not an excuse.
There you go. Yeah.
To be fair, Liverpool have been very lucky with injuries this season. They've had no one out really.
That's true.
Trent's been out for a couple times.
Oh, that is a good point.
Everyone's gonna have one.
Konate is injured right now.
Mm, yeah.
Fair. It's not Rodri and it's not Odegaard.
Well, Trent is probably one of their most important players.
Oh, I disagree.
Blake. And Konate's start of the season is debatably better than any center back other than Virgil van Dijk.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Trent thing, I think Konate probably has more validity than Trent because Trent is yes to the attack, but Trent can also lose them a bunch of games. And we've seen him lose them a bunch of games as well defensively. Yeah.
I think he's elevated his defensive game lately. But I see where
you're coming from. I know. I think we need to stop the Trent agree. Defensive
I
narratives.
Agree. I 100%
agree. I disagree. Because give it 3 weeks. Give it and within the next see,
that's
month.
The problem.
Within the next
when
month.
Was he'll, give it, when give was it, his last defensive mistake?
Well, exactly. they're cooking, so he hasn't had
one. That's the problem. Give him 3 weeks where he makes one defensive mistake out of out of 20 good tackles, and the media is just going to storm
but
on
it's
him.
Usually,
oh, Trent again,
but,
letting a goal
but
in.
It's usually not, from what I'm seeing, it's usually not one defensive mistake. It's one defensive game that he's just shocking.
Okay.
That's what I've seen, like, him against Martinelli.
Like, that's fair.
Him
like,
against,
the awareness sometimes lacks a little bit, but yeah. I think in the past year especially, we've seen crazy consistency from him, and he's tightened it up a lot.
That's fair. So I do want to check the injuries just because I want to see, like, how crazy their injuries
are. We are
have
on the
been,
topic
but...
of City.
Yeah. Oh, we can. Well, yeah.
No. Like,
yeah, go. Keep some
I mean, like, next game, we're going over to their win against Real Madrid.
Right.
We will get to that. But, yeah, just crazy choke by City.
Unbelievable.
Like, they are, like, visually losing their minds. Like, Pep and the squad are, like, discombobulating in front of our eyes.
That interview I saw after the game from Pep Guardiola.
Oh my goodness.
I was baffled.
Yeah, it was crazy.
I want to harm myself.
I want, like, I'm, like, it's genuinely concerning. Like,
well, he did harm himself.
Actually, a bit of a myth.
Cut.
That cut on his nose was there when City were winning. So.
Okay.
But the scratch.
He's a fucking psychopath. He probably did it himself when they were winning.
The head was like.
Crazy.
Like, you're I know. Bro, I don't know.
He's actually a sociopath.
If he was managing United, he'd actually be like Scarface. Like, he'd be. He'd look like Two-Face from
I get it, though. Like, it's just so, like, think about how he's just a serial winner. This never happened in his career. Like,
it's
never
happened.
He must feel like the world is ending because this is so new to him.
I know. Yeah, but we love to see it.
it is nice to see them lose.
How are those injuries looking?
They kind of do a lot of they have people out, but not that Matt, like, Allison is out, but
forgot.
Oh my god,
but Kelleher is like the best backup in the league.
Ortega,
no,
yes,
Ortega's not better.
Ortega's
than
first.
If you're going on form, no.
Well,
if we're going on form, it's definitely Kelleher.
It's definitely Kelleher.
Yeah,
but
and then Jota's out, who's kind of been bad since last year. He was injured last year.
Okay,
and Jota's out,
well,
and
he was starting striker for them at the beginning of the season.
Right, but Nunes has played decent enough. Yeah. And then Connor Bradley, okay, whatever. And then Kanate. So they do have injuries. But maybe I was wrong, but their nucleus is what I'm saying. Their nucleus. Is staying intact. Yeah.
Did you see what Arne Slot said about the injuries?
No.
He said, I think in general, people only talk about injuries if the results are not there. I think it's a good thing that no one talks about our injuries. It means that we got our results in.
Absolutely.
There
you go. That's a great point. Absolutely. But their injuries aren't to, like, Gravenberch, McAllister, or Sabo. So.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Fucking fair play. And then let's move on to the Real Madrid game, because there's other topics in
there. And they suck, bro.
They won at the weekend.
Against Getafe?
Against who? Yeah, exactly.
Kylian Mbappe, guys. What do we say?
Should have came to Arsenal, is what we're saying.
Man, I see a player that is so out of confidence.
And the team clearly doesn't like him.
No, okay.
I think there's some clips
the clip.
Taken out of context.
Absolutely. I've seen the clips. I think people just put some sad music
right.
over it.
I know.
A little gray filter.
Anything.
Like
you just take one guy and he's like, you know, we've seen so many guys do that where they're just up against the wall. They're trying to get in the zone, right?
Exactly.
And when they do that, they kind of look a little bit on the sadder side. And like, so yeah, you could just put like something like, so, you know.
I do think there is a little bit of, you know, apprehension between everyone. Because
they're not playing well,
Mbappe's supposed to come in and be the guy, and he hasn't been the guy, and Vinny is, you know,
I think Mbappe coming in with the mindset to be the guy is what's wrong in the beginning.
So
you're not going to be the guy in a team where Vinicius Jr. has been bossing it for 3+ years now and prime Ballon d'Or contender almost every single year. You're not going to be the superstar right away.
But he should be, though.
He absolutely should be.
It's
different in a team.
He's
with that
the most talented player in the world right now.
He fucking should be.
He should be the
genuinely,
guy.
I've been hanging on to Kylian Mbappe being the best player in the world since probably at least the World Cup.
Yeah,
because like you look at him and he's just box office, but
no
it looks
one,
like he's dyed in white. Like it's
there's something wrong with him. It's weird.
It is, but again, there's the rumors and the stories about his attitude and all that. And of course, we talked about the politics at Real Madrid. He may not be the best fit culturally there.
Yeah,
but man, you would expect him to make it work at some point. And to be fair to him, at the weekend against Getafe, he did score, not a banger, I'd say, but a nice little clean finish from outside the box. He did put up a good performance. But it's just the Champions League. It's the biggest stage. It's Liverpool, penalty, cop. You got to score that.
Yeah.
You have to score that. And if you are labeled as one of the best players in the world and went to Real Madrid because you want to be recognized as that, that's just part of the business that you have to get done.
Mm-hmm.
And he couldn't do that. So, yeah. I genuinely, I think Kylian Mbappe is like one of the few players left that's like, you know, like the whole Jogo Benito, like you watch him because he's box office and like you love watching him for the player, not for the team. And to see him struggling, it hurts a little bit. And from a non-biased side, I do want to see him get better.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well said.
Thank you. I am high on the monster right now. Thank you.
Are you? That was good.
Yeah.
How is the switching going so far? I feel like you're doing great.
You know what? This actually doesn't feel bad at all.
Because I don't want to do it, so I like that so far.
You tried to wing it fancy with a, ooh, watch out.
Look at this clip. Yeah, it's just terrible. It's just unfortunate that when he rounds the keeper here and he misses, eh?
Oh, shit.
It's a confidence thing.
It absolutely is. But there's also external factors to it.
I think he's starting to regret it a little bit.
You think he goes to sleep at night going, man, it should have been Arsenal.
I think he goes to sleep at night thinking, this is not what I expected. I'm not saying he regrets going to Real Madrid. I'm saying he might regret his overall psyche going into the season. That his expectations of what this season was going to be are not obviously what they are right now. And I think he goes to sleep at night thinking, damn, this isn't fun.
Mm.
For a lot of this season. Obviously, he's had moments, but they haven't been those consistent moments against the Liverpools. Liverpool absolutely dominated. So, not absolutely dominated, but they played very well.
They did.
Another victim in the Arne Slot penitentiary. Have you seen that saying going around?
Yeah. No.
I'm actually surprised you haven't.
Penitentiary.
The Arne Slot penitentiary. I guess that means...
Don't play the second language card.
Penitentiary.
Penitentiary?
Actually, I don't even know what that is. It's like a death.
It's like a jail cell.
Yeah.
It's a jail cell. Like,
I could have guessed that, but like I didn't know the word.
Yeah.
Right. Like Kipling Penitentiary. It's the one by my house.
Mm.
Oh. That's not fun.
Anyway, yeah, it's like a prison. So basically like Liverpool's clean sheets, I think. Something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the graphic was going around because now City's in the penitentiary as well. I think it's a little crazy.
Lads, they need to start losing.
Do you like the chant?
What's the chant?
The Christmas chant.
What is it?
It's beginning to look a slot like Christmas.
Ah. No, that's literally terrible.
It's fire.
It mean. What's next? Is there anything else? Is that all I'm saying?
No. There's,
everywhere
there's,
you go or something?
Yeah,
or?
No. There's some lyrics. It's like, United are falling.
Okay, never mind. Okay, never mind. That's fire as fuck. I'm a simple man, guys. I'm a simple man.
Fuck's sake, bro. You're like a child. You're like...
I literally am.
No, I think it goes, City are falling or something, and yeah. United are the same.
That's good. That's good. I like that.
Okay, let's move on a little bit. Just to wrap up.
Yeah, Champions League.
Champions League, we had Inter beating Leipzig 1-0, which usually I wouldn't talk about, but I think now Leipzig are like tied for bottom of the Champions League. Have they lost all their games?
They've lost every single one of their games.
Holy shit.
So far, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Even like Sturm Graz is ahead of them.
Sturm Graz did win over
there. Don't count them out.
Don't disrespect my team. Sturm Graz, baby.
No.
Yeah. Leipzig are looking like a mess. And they're actually not doing bad in the Bundesliga. So it's like, I don't
know. That's surprising.
I don't know what's going on there.
It's not even like they have a bad squad either. Like,
no, not at all.
Openda. Yeah. Benjamin Sesko.
Yeah.
Xavi Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
Who else? No,
there you go.
Gertrudia, who did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gertrudia.
Who's up and coming.
Yeah.
Kevin Campbell in the midfield. I know. Uh-huh. FIFA legend?
Is he?
I wouldn't say legend, but.
Just a FIFA player.
Just a FIFA packable player.
Just such a packable player.
Such a packable player. But no, there's enough players in there. Like Henrichs, who got called up to Germany for the Euros.
I haven't heard about Henrichs in a minute, bro.
There's also Nusa. You know Nusa. Antonio Nusa. Switzerland.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Norway, sorry.
All right, we're dragging it, lad.
If he was Swiss, I would have heard of him, but would have been in the Euros preview. Besides that, Villa drew with Juventus. Villa on a bit of a cold streak lately. We'll get onto them. We'll get onto them later.
Love it.
Benfica beat Monaco 3-2. Just had to mention that.
And so let's get into it.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
No. Okay. So is this going to be salt because we beat one of your French teams, or
bro? It's just because like you're not like you don't watch them week in week out.
That's the problem with me.
I also
like, I don't mind having. Sorry.
Well, I was gonna say like he also doesn't watch CFC week in week out, and like I don't want to hate on him for it, but like if they start doing well, he's gonna watch the playoffs. He's gonna act like he was there for the whole time. And I didn't watch a lot this season too, but I watched games. I bought MLS season pass just so I could watch it.
That is fair. I see where you're coming from, but I have watched some Benfica games. All right, I'm a fan of them. I've spent money on their jerseys. Okay,
you've been to a game.
I've been to a few games, mostly preseason friendlies, but
that counts.
Yeah, that counts.
Okay.
Yeah, bro. Like, what do we? Like, I my family is from there, so
I'm not a Krychovia fan. Like, I don't know what to tell you, bro.
I was trying to find the text, but they're not popping up.
Oh yeah,
it's the fact that you're saying.
I know we is crazy.
What?
It's like,
what? You?
I'm just
you,
having trouble wrapping my head around it.
You refer to Monaco and Brest as we.
I do. Oh my god, no,
that's
I do
crazy.
Not.
No,
absolutely
not.
And if he does say we,
but you refer to them as my boys or something like that. My
I refer to Magnus Akliouche and Elias Benseguir, who I want PSG to sign as my boys. They're my early chouchous. That's who they are. That's who they are.
My early
I want Akliouche to get called up to the French national team within the next couple months, and I want Benseguir to have a long, fruitful career.
What about Akosh, the guy I told you? You want him too?
Akliouche?
No. The PSG. Never mind.
Oh, the Axel guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
So I can name the whole Benfica lineup right now. I will still be called a fake fan.
Sorry?
I can name the whole Benfica lineup right now and I'll still be called a fake
fan. Close your computer and go.
Go.
Computer's closed. Okay, so it's true.
Wait, hold on.
No, pull it up right now.
Yeah.
What are we doing here?
Whoa. Wait, go.
The pressure is on.
The laptop is closed.
Okay, go.
So it's Trubin and Net.
It is Trubin and Net.
Mm-hmm.
Left back is usually Alvaro Fernandez, now referred to as Alvaro Carreras.
Okay.
This
guy knows his fucking second name too, or what?
Okay.
Center backs is Antonio Silva and Nicolas Otamendi.
Not according to the last starting 11, but
that's
we'll
fine.
Get,
that's
we'll
fine.
Give it to you. We'll
yeah.
give it to you.
It's Ba at right back.
Known footballer Ba. He scored.
It is Ba at right back. Yeah.
Usually a midfield three of Florentino Luiz, Kökçü, and Arsens.
Okay.
All right, yeah.
Let's wrap this up.
Yeah.
Yeah, he knows it.
Artukoglu on the left, yeah. Demir on the right, okay. And my boy Pavlidis at striker.
Why is he your boy?
He cooks on career mode.
Hmm. Okay, yeah, sure.
Good job.
Whatever.
Still not we though.
Like,
it's a close we.
Like I say, you can have two.
It's a we if you watch the league
have,
games.
And if I can have two, then give me Benfica.
Okay. Like you can kind of have three, but that's a lot.
I'm just saying it's
like I would
support your local.
Also, are we really proud of beating a 10-man Monaco?
Yeah, like come on,
3-2 at the death.
It's the way we won because we went 2-1 down. You were rubbing into my face.
I
may or may not turn the game off, but then we pulled it back.
Yeah, it's the yeah, I don't know.
And Monaco are like one of the most informed teams in the Champions League. All right, you've been
absolutely
cooking the Champions League.
They
Sorry, they've been cooking the Champions League.
Yeah.
And you've been rubbing in our faces for the past couple of weeks. So,
because, rightfully so. Rightfully
oh my God, so. Guys, Krychovia's in fourth in the Ekstraklasa.
Wow. Is that your team?
I did a career mode with them once.
They're fourth?
Yeah.
That's good, no?
Yeah.
Good.
I don't really have a team in Poland.
Well, like, what part are you from?
I think they were born in Warsaw, but I don't really want to do Legia. But anyway. Not the point.
Anyways, we're not all in touch.
We'll give you a half we.
We'll give you a half we. The other half can be TFC.
Fair
Should
enough.
We go to TFC? Is this a good segue point?
Up to the producer.
My other club also played in the Europa League, but we'll get to them. We'll get to them.
We can do that when we go to Prem.
Yes.
Can we Prem them?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Let's go to John Herdman because former TFC coach John Herdman stepped down, and it's just frustrating.
Like, John Herdman Ball wasn't really amazing to watch in this one season of his reign at Toronto FC, but you just had trust in the project because of his pedigree, because of who he is as a manager, and because of his tactics that he employed with Canada. Now that that's gone, and they clearly didn't back him enough for him to want to stay because he resigned.
No.
I don't know. Like, and the Toronto FC and the Argos have, it's a different story with the Argos because it's a smaller league and all this stuff. But Toronto FC have, like, continuously been, like, the small fish in the big pond that is MLSE.
Yes.
And they have the one championship in 2017, which was amazing, but
almost never gets talked about now, I feel like. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, like, it's, I don't know where they're going right now.
I, under John Herdman, like, the football was never nice. Again, an 11-19-4 record I have written down here. But you felt, of course, with the pedigree from Canada, you felt like he had your back.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, you knew, like, Bob Bradley was a fucking disaster. Oh my God, terrible. But with John Herdman, you felt like there's somebody, like, really trying for the club. And you felt kind of safe with him because, you know, he's done so much for Canada and Torontonians already.
Absolutely.
But now with this happening, and not just him getting fired, but him stepping down, and because of some, probably some controversy
the Canada
involving
stuff.
Canada, yeah. And probably the fact that he's never going to coach Canada or around Canada ever again,
yeah.
It's a little bit sad. Because when he left Canada, obviously we were sad, but us as TFC fans, we kind of went like, okay, it's fine because now he's going to come save our club. And yeah. It's going to be fantastic and it's going to be all okay. But now he's just actually leaving.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, it's just the direction. And that was such an issue for Canada as a whole, which I'll plug it right now. I have an article that just dropped on our link tree. Go read it. It's about the rise of Canadian football and all that stuff. But that was such an issue with Canada. There was no direction until there was. And John Herdman was a big, big reason for that. So that's, again, like you said, you just trusted that he would have your back. Now Toronto FC has nowhere to go. The players are, they have talent. They have the Italians. Insigne is like the worst signing in history. He's terrible. He has no fight, no hunger. Terrible. Get him out of my club. I hate him.
I know.
Other Italian, Bernardeschi, wonderful. Doesn't always put in the best performances, but fights, you can see he cares.
What you want.
Talks to the fans. Absolutely. Like, I don't know.
So from someone that doesn't really follow the MLS, is there a reason why he stepped down, or was it poor results? Or,
well, I got it written right here.
Yeah, go.
So do you remember the drone spying scandal for the Canada Women's Olympics
women's team?
Yes. So basically our coach at the time, Bev Priestman, was involved in a team that used a drone to spy on our opponent's training sessions.
Okay.
And when we got caught, they got suspended. I think we got like a six-point deduction in our Olympic groups. Still somehow made it out, I think.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy.
If I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah, you did.
But now there are rumors that Herdman was involved in that kind of system and maybe the culture that created that to happen.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So in the article that I was reading about it, it says, although no reason for the resignation was offered by the club, one would suspect that TFC and Herdman feared some sort of heavy punishment from Canada Soccer for his alleged involvement in the drone spying scandal.
Which could have totally been true, but at the same time, that scandal happened, like, this stuff came out about it, like, a while ago.
Oh, that's
so it could have, like, they could have gone to this quicker, and I think there's, like, that's definitely a part of it, but I think there's just a mutual kind of, I don't want to be here as well.
If the drone case is the correct, like, scenario, that's what actually happened, does that not erase any type of validity that he has as a coach because he's cheating almost?
I don't think so.
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, it's just very un-Canadian to do. I don't even hate it because
I can't
come on, bro. Cheating.
Do you think spying on a couple sessions like helped?
I think so.
So
it probably did.
But everything he did, but it was also the women's and maybe the men's, he didn't get caught. But the thing is, John Herdman came up through the Canadian women's system.
Yeah.
He was the coach of the Canadian women's.
Right.
Yeah.
And then he moved to the men's, obviously. Yeah. So
there's like an independent investigation going on. I believe it's still going on.
Yeah. I think so.
So when that gets resolved, I guess it's feared that Herdman is going to kind of be a suspected culprit of being somewhat involved in it. And
so what would the punishment look like?
I don't know. Maybe a ban. Maybe who knows? Who knows?
I hope this is a little off topic, but I hope friend of the show now, Phil DeSantos, who is a CPL manager. I had a chat with him with the article.
Nice.
And I would like him to get an opportunity for the TFC job.
Oh, that would be nice. Which club is he coaching in?
Forge.
Forge is like dominating there.
No, not Forge. I'm lying. The one in Hamilton. I'm terrible. Why don't I remember this?
Well, Forge is Hamilton.
Is Forge the Hamilton one?
Forge is Hamilton, yeah.
Why am I being terrible right now? Not Forge. Guys, this is
bad.
This is bad. Really, this Valor, is really bad. Valor, Valor. Valor's Valor, in Ottawa, sorry. Yes, Valor's yes, in yes, Ottawa, yes, I think. Yes, yes, yes. Ottawa? Winnipeg. I don't know anything about
Blake, sorry, brother. Blake.
In Winnipeg.
Friend of the show, though.
But talking to show? Yeah, I interviewed him for the article. Okay. But talking to him, I liked what he employed mindset wise about what he thinks football in this country is like. So, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just to wrap up, I think this is a bit of a bad sign for the future TFC yeah, in yeah, Canada. Yeah,
absolutely.
Soccer.
Absolutely.
Oh,
Canada soccer, not so much. I think we've broken away from that.
Yeah, no, I don't think they're interlinked as much as they used to be. If that makes sense.
It's just more the business stuff over the past few years that's kind of been worrying everybody.
Oh, that part, yeah.
Yeah. From what I'm gathering from this, it looks like TFC are going to struggle with identity in the future.
Oh, well.
Perhaps. Oh, yeah. Been struggling with identity. Anyways, let's move over to Prem.
Yay.
And now let's talk about your other club, Blake, because it's looking much more positive over in London.
Yeah.
Arsenal 5, West Ham 2. Talk me through it, Blake.
Only gripes I have was the two goals that we let in. First one shouldn't really have been a foul, in my opinion. The tackle. It seemed kind of crazy free kick, though. And then that was the second one, actually. And the first goal, I don't remember. Penalty? Was it a penalty?
No. Wan-Bissaka assisted by Carlos Soler.
That was a good goal.
A good goal.
The rest, we absolutely dominated. Again, our corner tactics.
Oh, my God.
Just it's more of the same. And
it's like we're playing FIFA 19 over here.
This is what we like, though. More of the same.
More
like
of the same.
The things I can say about the game against Sporting, I can apply to the game against West Ham. Except in this case, it was Saka just absolutely bawling out. He is world-class, second-best winger, second-best right winger in the world.
He needs 10 assists in the next 25 games to break the Premier League record.
Of
assists in a
damn
season.
Time.
Oh, assists in a season.
Yeah.
Oh.
What?
Oh, he saw all-time assists.
Oh. No. What's going on here?
No.
Like, he's immense.
Yeah.
While Odegaard is the maestro, he is like the
talisman.
The talisman. That's exactly right.
Not even Starboy anymore. You can't say Starboy.
Nah, he's the star man. I love him to death.
That's poetry right there.
And his, man, his rise to what he's become is so amazing. Like, I've actually never felt, there's very few moments where I feel like directly connected to not just the team, but an athlete. And when he missed that penalty at the Euros, like, guys, I was cheering for England just because of him. That's the sole reason.
That's cute.
So, like, when he missed, like, this is going to sound crazy. When he missed, like, a part of me, like, actually died a bit with him. That is crazy. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm serious.
No.
My heart sank. My heart sank for him. I was heartbroken for him because I knew that was like such a huge moment. The fact that he missed and your boy missed and who else missed? Trent? No.
It was Sancho Rashford.
Both your freaking boys missed.
Well,
and look who's the best out of them now. Anyway, we don't have
but the ascension is
fantastic. And he is like, right now, the second best attacker in the league behind Salah.
Not crazy to say.
And
not
he's,
crazy at all to say.
I love this too. The benchmark is always Saka for the next up and coming winger attacker. Foden versus Saka, Palmer versus Saka, Rashford versus
Saka. Not quite up and coming though, those guys.
But you know what? No, but like, you know what I mean? Like the next winger who that era has been compared to is Saka.
Yeah. Him and Palmer are like going insane.
No, I still think there's a decent gap between the two.
See, like, again,
really? It's again, it's two different profiles.
And
I mean, a couple weeks ago, we were putting them on the same level.
And football's so reactive, but again, I think it's just, like I said, Foden was better at the start of the season, but he's not.
What else did you tell us about Saka's season?
That what?
The Ballon d'Or charge.
Oh! How about this, guys? You guys talked about Salah's Ballon d'Or charge this season. Let's say Arsenal win the Champions League or the Premier League, one or the other, and Saka continues this. Let's say he breaks the assist record. He has 40 goal contributions, which is pretty much what he's on goal, even 35. What stops him from winning the Ballon d'Or if we win one of those two?
That exactly is what's stopping.
What?
Winning the Prem or the Champions League.
Oh.
It's way too early to judge. I remember last year.
But why? Time, no. But I remember. No, because you. No, you
said, bring up a whole different point. I remember last year at this time, Antoine Griezmann was balling the fuck out, both in the league.
That's a good shout.
And in the Champions League. Atletico Madrid were winning games. He was involved in every single goal, almost. But and we were. I mean, I was obviously he's my favorite player. I was saying why not? If they continue on, if they carry on, and he continues this form, but obviously I got carried away.
But you can say that about Salah.
Sorry,
you can say that about Salah.
You can say that about any player.
But you didn't say
it's too early to call.
But you didn't say that when you talked this last week about Salah.
Well, I think there's a considerable gap between Liverpool and Atletico Madrid.
Is there a considerable gap between Arsenal and Atletico Madrid?
There is, but there's also right now I think Liverpool have a little bit more potential than Arsenal.
Guys, I'm so you guys don't understand. If they prove me wrong and they continue this run forever and ever and ever, I'll eat my words. They're gonna go through a blip. And if they don't go through a blip, then guys, they're gonna be like the best fucking Premier League team to ever play. Like they're gonna go through a blip.
Are they on track for that many points?
They've lost two out of 13? They've dropped points in two games out of 13. You're telling me they're gonna go perfect for the rest of the way? No, they're gonna drop points.
Yeah.
How many? And if Arsenal will be able to capitalize, I don't know.
No, I do
but
see
they're
it.
Gonna drop points. And if they don't, then they're the best team in the league and if the best team ever, and if we lose to that and they get 100 points, fuck, then sure.
You're right. Yeah, again, it is the injuries too. Like if Salah gets injured, Szoboszlai gets injured, maybe even like a Gravenberg, McAllister, one of
Gravenberg's
those guys.
Been crazy. Yeah,
McAllister's been very good too. Not a lot of people mention
their midfield is playing like prime Barca right now, lads.
Yeah, it is crazy.
Which we can go to them now.
Again, no, you are right, absolutely. Like if they, like, can they keep this up for 25 right. more games? We don't know.
Right.
But we have to judge them off what we're seeing right now, and what we're seeing right now is fucking.
If ifs and buts were candies and nuts.
I would have a lot of candies and nuts.
If it's and buts are candies and nuts, you never heard that before?
No,
I've never heard it either.
Really?
Never.
It's like if ifs and buts were candies and nuts, and I've like there's like another saying, but it's like then I'd have a lot of candies and nuts.
Okay. Rich in candies and nuts.
Yeah, that's like not the saying. Like the ifs and buts is, but then the oh, last okay. part,
right?
The ifs and buts and candies and nuts is the same, okay. And then the rest there is. But
okay, let's go. Let's go to Liverpool game. It makes most sense now. Liverpool 2, Man City 0.
Fucking shit, bro. I've never been cheering for City in my life, but I cheer for City in that game.
Cheering for City.
Well, I wanted a draw.
I guess that makes sense. How crazy is it that you're in a title challenge and you're not cheering against City?
I know.
Fucks up the mind a little bit, no?
Errors come to an end, guys.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Wow. There's week number 4 in a row referencing Erik ten Hag. Is he
that exact sad? Quote, too.
Yeah.
You brought it up, like, the other week.
Seems
that's
like what only... I mean. I'm not saying it.
Yeah,
I'm saying it's
yeah, a... exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I'm going to jump on City here because I made this point in our group chat.
Genuinely tweaking.
Like, that winger setup, oh, my God.
Awful.
Like, what the fuck are we doing? Like... I get Bernardo Silva's played on the wing before, but he's clearly not the same player he was. And Nunes, I said this last week, what the fuck does he do?
Seriously.
What does he do? His profile, again, definitely suits more of a central role, but what the fuck does he do? And then look what happens. Pep finally puts on wingers who are actually goddamn wingers, and they start kind of playing well.
Yeah.
Like, you want inverted
it's
wingers?
Like there's no way that a manager with Pep Guardiola's caliber, like Pep Guardiola, not even Pep Guardiola's caliber. Pep Guardiola is no way. You look at your team, you have two of the most skilled wingers on at one-on-one take-ons.
Yeah.
And you decide to start. What's his name?
Nunes.
Mateus Nunes. And Bernardo Silva on the left and right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It beats me.
You're Pep Guardiola. Is he... He doesn't remember or what's going on? No, seriously.
Rico Lewis is...
As a midfielder... Guys, I think the Rico Lewis party
is
the boat has... This time last year, I mean, like, City Academy product, obviously, they've been coming pretty good in the last few years. Yeah. We were hyping him up a lot this time last year, but, like, he just seems pretty average.
No, why does it... Like, I still have a little bit of hope in him because he is not a midfielder to begin with. It's, again, it's Pep changing his position. He's a right back, and right now would be a perfect... opportunity to play him out right back because Kyle Walker is so
awful. I know.
The football has genuinely left Kyle Walker.
Yeah. Man. But even the Rico Lewis thing, I don't even see as an excuse, because coming up through the City Academy, like, they play exquisite football.
No, yeah.
Like, it is literally 100%. That free-flowing, like, positionless kind of Guardiola-esque style.
100%. I still have a tiny bit of hope in him. But Kyle Walker, man, he's lost a lot of his pace. He's not as solid on the challenges. I feel like he's getting beat most of the time.
Yeah.
His crossing was never impeccable, and it's progressing. He doesn't bring much offensively. It's like, sure, you're a legend of the sport, you're a legend of the Premier League, but at some point, let's take a step back here.
Yeah,
no?
Yeah. And De Bruyne didn't play, which I think was a fitness thing.
Yeah.
But still, looking at their injuries, of course they have Rodri and Kovacic out, which are big.
Kovacic, I don't know about.
It's Stones and Oscar Bob. So four injuries, which is an amount, but I can guarantee you every Premier League team has about four injuries going right now.
It's just Rodri, bro.
So if your whole system is built on one player, which, fair enough, Arsenal's kind of is too, but we haven't sunk that far down. And if Sobo gets injured or Salah gets injured, I don't think Liverpool are going to go seven in a row without a win. What does that say about City as a team? And what does that say about Pep as a manager? And what does that say about Haaland not being able to do anything without service? Because, again, like, he might just be the best finisher of all time, and that might be about it. Like, I don't know. Guys, what else does he do?
Of all time.
Be nicer to him.
I just said he's the best finisher of all time.
All time is...
Well, his goal...
But he's got way more to his game than
his
that.
His goal ratio would suggest that.
What did he do in this game?
I'm not saying he did anything in this game. He hasn't been himself the last few weeks. And that's why, for 15 mil in my FPL team, I couldn't take him anymore.
I know. I couldn't find a way to get him out of this. I couldn't find a way without taking him out without getting a hit. Like, you know what I mean?
That's still valid, though, because the amount of value you can get back. Why are we talking about ROI on FPL? Anyways.
But no, seriously. Like... Gyökeres, what I saw from him and what I've seen from him against City, against Arsenal, against Premier League teams, even in the game against Arsenal, he had a couple plays where it was like, shit, this is scary. Like, he's running at you. You're like, oh my God. Lad, I saw Haaland, like, look genuinely disinterested.
Yeah.
Maybe it was just me overanalyzing, but there were times when they were passing, like, he just knew he wasn't going to score. 100%.
Body language says everything. Mm-hmm. He's head down most of the time when things don't go his way. He's not getting many opportunities, and when he does, he's not doing the most out of them at all. So, yeah, Kevin De Bruyne, definitely a big miss. I think Phil Foden and the system that they were playing in last year, which obviously, again, Rodri was a big part of, is a big miss. Man, this Rodri injury really encapsulates how important he was and that he truly
was the Ballon d'Or
deserves to be the Ballon d'Or winner. Seriously, how can you influence a team this much, two teams this much, Spain too, let's not forget, and not win the Ballon d'Or? He's injured now. City don't have him. Seven losses. Must say something. And the fact that he's...
But that's just not how Ballon d'Ors judge, isn't it? That's just not how Ballon d'Ors judge. I mean, we can't retroactively go back and judge how a Ballon d'Or should have been judged because a player is now injured this season
Hindsight is...
2020.
Most important competitions, most important games, and he's showed up for almost every single one of them. I don't see
it. Again, it is we judge it on performances in the 23-24 season. That is the season, right? Plus the Euros, plus a Copa America.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying.
And he deserved it. Like, I think him and Vinny both deserved it. I think Vinny edges it slightly for me, but, like, I don't think you could be taking, you know, it's almost 2025, and you'd be saying, like, yeah, this is why he deserved last year's Ballon d'Or. That's not how this works. If you want to make that a point as, like, oh, we should respect Rodri more now.
That's kind of what he's saying, though.
Then, yes, but...
I also want to hear what you're saying.
Be like, the motherfuckers that switched Vinny's vote last minute to vote for Rodri were right because he got injured, and look how bad City are. Like, that's...
Fair.
I still kind of believe what you just said. Like,
It's like, if you use that as an argument, it's like... That's not the point of the Ballon d'Or.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, if you're saying, like, oh, all the people saying Vinicius should have won it are now wrong because how bad City are. That's just it's a moot point.
It just proves that he was an integral part of.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I don't think anybody saying Vinny should have won it, saying that point, is right.
Yeah.
Like that. Okay. Anyhow, that's a weird tangent.
I just have one quick thing on Salah, and then you guys can go if you have anything else on Liverpool, and then we can move on. But he is like, again, I thought he had a good game, and I don't think he like had a crazy game. I thought he had a good game. He's one of those players, so annoying, that he doesn't have to have a good game, and he'll still like find the perfect pass or get a crazy goal. 100%. And like, that's so fucking good.
Yeah.
That is like the best compliment I can give him.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't need to play well. Like, I feel like players, a lot of players need to play well to have a, to have like contributions to the game. He can still, he can play terrible and still have contributions.
It's an attribute that we have only associated with the very, very best that we've ever seen. 100%.
Prime example. Sorry.
Go ahead.
Prime example, Real Madrid game. Genuinely, almost ghostly.
Misses the penalty as well.
It misses the penalty as well. In Mendy's pocket. But the only time he does something good is obviously winning the penalty. Obviously, he missed it. But winning the penalty is the one time where he switched on that game. Yep. And that's all you
That's
need.
What you need. Yeah, that's exactly. Man. So
he's ridiculous. And it looks like Liverpool's league to lose right now. And by extension, maybe it looks like Salah's Ballon d'Or to lose. And if you want his kit, you can go to the... Like, no, I'm kidding. But genuinely, that giveaway closes in a few days.
Yeah.
Valid.
Yeah.
Friday, right?
Closes Friday.
We do the draw then, and then we send this thing, hopefully, not too far. We don't have to pay too much shipping. Anyways.
Just head over to our Instagram.
There you go.
I'm getting good at the plugs.
You are?
Yeah.
All right.
Your turn.
My turn? Mm-hmm. Or do we want to go Chelsea, then United, United to preview the Arsenal game?
Sure, we can quickly touch on Chelsea.
Yeah, not much.
There's not much to say on Chelsea. I want to make the point of Aston Villa now. Winless in their last 8 games, not a single win in November.
Wow.
All competitions.
City level. I knew
it was bad. It's not even like a crazy fixture run they've been on, really? But yeah. Wow. Crazy. I know, right?
That's surprising.
Yeah. It is surprising.
Yeah. Well, Chelsea from my dad was kind of watching. I was in and out, but I think Watkins had a couple chances that he should have scored for sure. He hasn't been the same player either this year.
No. Not at all.
Not at all.
No. John Durant been but
you know
who's quiet.
You know has eight ready for that conversation. Has 8 goals this season.
Wait, for Villa?
No, for Chelsea.
Oh, Nicholas Jackson.
Nicholas Jackson, for all the shit he got last season, even though he did have a lot of contributions to goals, he is slowly becoming like a very decent Premier League player.
Absolutely,
I agree.
Absolutely.
And then this Maresca system is like.
Moki doing really well. I mean, like,
it's working. We've
given so many flowers to Arsenal being like back to their best or doing really well. The title charge now back on, but they're literally same. Like tied exact. Same goal difference, goals scored, goals against, everything than Chelsea. And the only reason that you're ahead of Chelsea right now in the league is because Arsenal have more away goals in the head to head. You drew 1-1 in the league.
There you go.
So on a basically a technicality, you get over them right now. Well, but besides that, you're the exact same.
Wow.
And it's like, just looking at lineup-wise, Sanchez, decent goalie, not the biggest fan, but we'll excuse him for now. Caicedo is playing at right back, but whatever. Caicedo, Fofana, Colwill, and Cucurella, all those players, when they were bought as good players.
Yeah.
Fernandez, Lavia, Palmer, Sancho, Neto, we're all bought as good players. You understand what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
Like, these aren't... We shit on Chelsea for buying random-ass players, which they've done in the past. But the players that they did buy who did have a bit of pedigree and a bit of experience to them, while they still were young, they were bought on the basis that they actually had a good bit of footballing ability in them. There just wasn't the right manager, or they weren't playing well, or they just weren't doing what they should have done. Now that this Maresca system is in place and it's actually kind of sticking to these players, they're getting the best out of them, which is why they're, you know, winning. These players aren't bad. Some of them, the players that they randomly buy from, like David Washington from whatever, that's weird as whatever. That recruitment's always going to be strange. But the players that have actually been bought on the basis that they're actually good footballers with good potential, I think the fruits are finally showing.
Like I'm here to give flowers to Chelsea, of course. But if you want to get into like the business of them buying players, like they've spent £500 million more than Arsenal have in the past couple of years.
Billion?
They've spent over
500 million.
Over a billion.
Half a billion.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
of course, they bought all these players with immense talent.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to give too many flowers to them only now doing what we expected from them from the start.
Exactly. Which it should have been earlier.
Like you spend £1 billion in the Premier League, and you should, if we're being completely honest, you should probably be above where Chelsea is.
Of course.
Right now. But so this should have been where Chelsea was like a year or two ago after having all that money spent on them. And this should be like, this is like the bottom of where they should be under Boehly spending
for sure.
all of this money. So I don't want to, like, Maresca, all the flowers. The players, finally getting some flowers because now they're putting up good performances. The system, the culture, everything is on the up, 100%. Mm. But, like, that's if you take a step back, you go, yeah, they're actually doing – this is bare minimum, bro. Like, this is, like, exactly how
– Fair.
It should be going when you spend
eight
figures.
Yeah.
No. 10 figures.
There you go.
10 figures on players in the past couple of years.
Sure. I have a soft spot for them, so.
Which is so weird.
Like, I love my dad, dude.
I have a soft spot for Chelsea or for City, man.
That's different, though. I'll be honest. I tell my dad that story, though, because he's joking now about, oh, you know, I might just buy a Florida jersey. Like, he's not going to. But he's joking about that. I'm like, Father, I know stories about a similar situation, and
like anyone I tell that story to, they're like, "What?"
Oh, I totally understand. What? It makes there's not a lot of things that make more sense to me than that story.
Yeah, and it's not even like there's like a big like understanding between. Oh, I mean, we're getting into this now. I know he's listening. So I'm trying to be careful.
Yeah, if you want to get into it, you can. I know he's being
careful, but like. All his friends that he became United fans with are still United fans.
Oh my God.
He dragged out one of his.
Shout out Papa B, dude.
He dragged out one of his United fan friends to the City thing yesterday because he has no City friends to go with. So his whole basis for becoming a City fan is just not applicable because obviously he's the only one thinking that. And it's just a backwards way to support a football club, in my opinion. But I just want to see the same energy when all the Portuguese players leave and City still suck. And will he, you know,
is he
pop back on the United? Bro, oh my God.
Is he defending Mateus Nunes?
With this.
He better not.
He probably is, mate. He probably, when he saw him starting a winger yesterday, he was probably like, yes. Anytime there's like three or four Portuguese players starting on any team, like he will point it out. So, but this is the thing now. Alphonso Davies is linked with the United move.
Is he actually?
He is.
No way. He's gonna jump
so
back.
He also had like a driving incident in Munich a couple days ago. I don't know if you've
Davies
seen it.
Davies did?
Yeah. Mm. He was driving a little bit drunk, is what the story.
No way.
Went. Oh. Yeah. So he got stopped. He got stopped in his Lamborghini, and I think he got like a little cheeky little DUI. But
oh my God.
But you know, he's just a chill guy.
That breaks the law.
It just adds on to the fact that he's probably out of Munich in the summer, and I think United they need a left back, so Davies is like the number one target. So I'm saying, if that happens, our Portuguese manager gets us back to like an amazing level, and our captain is Portuguese, and we still have Dalo and all these guys. If I see my dad crawling back.
That's crazy.
You don't accept it.
I won't accept it. No. You go back to your, you know, 7 winless streak, okay? And
you'll go back to your 2-game streak.
Thank you. Thank you.
Talk to me about
get
that.
Let's get into it now. It started with the Europa League against Bodo Glimt. And of course, I'm not going to go into it too much.
Because you almost lost, but.
We didn't almost lose, bro. What are you saying?
You were down.
You did almost.
No, bro. Oh, my goodness.
You were down.
When we went 2-1 down at a point in the game, and
very funny, by the way,
it was really funny for you guys. Like, congratulations. But I, you know, there was not a moment where I thought, oh my God, we could lose this game. Genuinely. Like I was,
there's a moment I thought that
I was not worried at all. And judging from the United fans that have since commentated on the game, and like nobody was worried about it really. Uh-huh. They scored with their first two shots. One of them was a fucking banger. Malacia clearly is a little bit worse for wear and got skinned for the second goal. But we were out and out dominating that game really. We took our chances pretty well. We were knocking on the door for a long, long time. We took control of a game that I haven't seen in a little bit, even against like poor opposition. like even under Ten Hag and our managers before that, we always play to the level of our competition. Mm. So we'd actually like allow Bodeglimt to the game. But like I'm actually seeing some like positive stuff here, positive patterns of play, and actual like identity idea on the field with United that I haven't seen in a minute. And I'm feeling pretty good about it. Like the results are cool. The opposition is whatever, but I'm only concentrating on our performances this season. We okay. Top four, top six, whatever. I'm not concerned with it.
Okay.
I just want to see improvements in the style, and I want us to have a clear idea for the future at the end of the season about who should go, who should stay. Right. Okay. So, and that's what Amarine said too. And I'm like completely on that. Like anytime I hear him talk, he's saying the complete right things. So the Bodeglimt performance, really, really positive. Shout out to Højlund, 2 goals.
We've always respected Højlund
on this podcast.
We are a Højlund apologist podcast.
At the beginning, I was very much against Højlund, I'll admit. 100%. But let me land. But for the last 6 months, what did you say?
It's a reference to what he said.
Oh. Wait, I said that?
Listen. What did I say? For the last year, I've been a Højlund
apologist.
Advocate.
Oh, I don't know about a year.
A year is a little bit crazy.
It's December. You started getting back on the train in like March.
His first goal was Boxing Day last year.
Okay, so for the past six months. Past six months. Absolutely.
Even 8 months.
Dime me the frick up. 8 months. Xerxes, no. But
yeah, Xerxes, not for a couple more months.
Also, shout out to Mazraoui. Holy shit,
yeah,
guys.
I heard.
Holy shit. We got him for £50 million because he said free Palestine. I'll take it.
Nice.
This is the stuff I can say without Maz. I'm kidding. No opinion on that publicly. But. Shout out, Mazraoui.
I just keep digging deeper.
This is terrible.
This one gets him into trouble, eh? This one gets him into trouble all the time.
I try not to.
Bro, I know Serena. Like, I know that gets you into trouble too.
With Serena?
Yeah.
Oh, Serena's so much worse than me.
Oh.
No, like you're done your sentence and then you just add like a word just to make it worse. It's like, why are you going back?
For what reason, Chad?
I try saving him, but I just dig even more.
No, shout out to Bruno for his performance on the weekend.
Shout out to him. Shout out to Amad Diallo, bro.
Here we go.
One performance and all of a sudden.
Oh my God.
One performance? One. Bro, he's been.
Sorry, two.
He has started every minute for Amarim in the Premier League this season. And
which
has
is
been
two games.
180
minutes, actually.
Two fucking games,
he's
you
the
loser.
He's the only player besides minutes. Onana that could say that.
Wow.
Okay. Even
Bruno got subbed off at 65.
At least someone will finally sub him off. Fuck.
You only have a maximum of 5 subs per game, I will tell you.
I know.
Yeah.
Your center backs haven't played the whole 90 yet under Amarim?
De Ligt came off at one point. Martinez came off at one point.
Maybe that's just a good. Anyway, sure.
Mazraoui maybe did too.
Sure.
But anyways, I think it's a clear sign of like how much he's rated, it's for a good fucking.
He's playing
reason,
on
bro.
The Ram position, the right attacking mid.
No, he's playing as the right wing back. He's playing as the right wing.
And where's Mazraoui playing? Center back.
Center back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like he kind of drifts inward when Mazraoui takes it wide.
Yeah,
but like
it shifts.
You know the.
Oh my God! Please stop it. It's been 2 games. No, we're not doing this. Dude. 2 games in, this guy apparently already is the best manager in the world.
This is what I'm saying. He's like holy fuck. I don't care about the results, but like, oh my God, just
we're beating
like,
Everton 4-0, and next thing
lads,
you know,
lads, I've been condemned to the Ten Hag trust the process for the last couple of years. So just let me do it. Just let me have it. Okay. Just let me have it.
Okay.
Amad Diallo was fucking amazing. Just like his raw pace, his skill. Just his fucking energy in the pressing and everything. He's just one of those players where every fucking time he's on the ball.
For 180 minutes, fuck.
Something fucking happens.
Oh my God.
And it's so good. He's keeping Garnacho at the side, which usually I wouldn't like because I...
Yeah, because you want Garnacho playing right mid. For sure.
No, because usually... Because then when we make substitutions, he would move into the Ram position instead of bringing Garnacho. Anyways... Rashford is doing well as well. Even Xerxes is getting on the score sheet. Like, what is going on, lads?
Were they 2 tap-ins? I didn't see them. Okay, they were 2 tap-ins.
No. Not tap-in. One was like, look up the goals. They're not tap-ins. Like, one was from the edge of the box, but it was on a breakaway. So, like, it was a clean finish.
Right, like a second, you're, something
he's on a striker. He's not just sticking out a leg. It's not just bouncing off his foot into the net. Like he had to finish.
Which minutes or which were there, what?
He scored one in like the 20th.
Or like and the in order, like did he score the first goal?
The second and the fourth.
Okay, keep talking.
There's the second.
Nope. Second is a
keep talking.
Very much a tap-in, I would say. No, I'm kidding. He has to place it.
He has to place it. That's the thing.
Great work from Amad Diallo, I will say.
Exactly. And then go to the fourth one. It's even better work.
Lads, are you kidding me? That's totally a tap-in.
He had to finish it.
No.
He had to finish it.
That's it. He has an open net. If he misses...
It's not an open net, okay, first of all. There's a defender in the net.
You're telling me if he misses that chance, you're not clowning him?
I am clowning him because he should finish it.
So then...
But that's the point. He has to finish it. Yeah,
that's a tap-in. That's a tap-in.
Oh, my goodness. Are you finishing that, Blake?
No, but I'm not a professional footballer.
I think I am.
A tap-in is one where I'm like, okay, anybody should finish that.
Anybody should finish that.
Anybody should finish
that. Any professional player should finish that, 100%.
It's like...
It's an open net.
A tap-in is like no technique, really.
You just hit it.
Okay, go to the next one.
This is the next one, I think.
Again, great work from Amad Diallo.
Second and fourth, you said?
Low-key, like, that one's a better finish.
I'm saying, like, he's not just sticking a leg out and putting it in.
If you miss
like,
that.
Like, say, like, Havertz's goal against Sporting. That is a tap-in. Because it'd be harder to miss than to score. Right? Yeah.
Okay.
That is what I constitute as a pure out-and-out like, out tap-in.
These are
goals that he should absolutely be scoring. Sure. I'm not disagreeing with you. But tap-in is... the words have been a little bit perverted.
Okay.
All right? So, yeah. Anyway, shout out to all them. But just, like... Just as a whole, like the system is
looking. You might win on Wednesday, bro.
Well, again, the one negative about the Everton game is Cobby and Lissandro got
hurt,
yellows and are suspended.
I like that.
So they're not going to be playing against you guys.
It's good news.
Ugarte Casemiro.
So this is usually that would scare me, but. I also Gabriel cooking on corners. I would probably
there's no one that can stop Gabriel on corners. By the way, you just have to hope that we don't get it right.
Yeah, if he gets the run right, but you need to at least have guys like if it wouldn't be Casemiro in the midfield, it would be Eriksen, and I at least want someone with a chance.
Yeah,
you know. So De Ligt is really good on corners. He'll play.
Valid.
But yeah. So probably Luke Shaw at center back. Honestly.
Oh my God.
Do you remember that stint where Luke Shaw was center back and he was absolutely tearing it up?
Yeah.
It was like January 2023.
Saka against Dalot and Luke Shaw is might feed families. So I'm worried about that. I'm worried about that.
Sorry, Austin Matthews just scored for his first goal back from injury.
Oh, congratulations.
Congratulations.
He's still number one, by the way, guys.
Nice. Yeah. Saka second?
Yeah. Okay. Not that anyone cares. Preview the game.
No, I just lost my train of thought now because Austin Matthews scored. No, I'm kidding.
Have to do it.
I'm kidding.
Yes, I think we're going to win. Whoa. Yes, I think we should win.
No, back it. I say you're good.
No, kind of scared. Are we at home?
I believe so.
I think we should win, but I don't know. I can just see like Rashford.
You're going to win.
Guys,
well, I think you're going to win. I think it's definitely your game to lose.
And
I think like we've been playing well, but you have to take in the opposition.
I hope so. We'll see. I don't have much to say other than like.
But again, for me, the Arsenal game's a write-off. Like I have no expectations.
See, going into that game. Like I hate you.
Why? Because you want me. Because he wants me to gloat.
No.
Beat myself up. And then he wants to come to studio next Monday and be like, ha!
No.
I fucking told you. How do you feel, Julian?
Guys.
And he doesn't want. How do you feel, Julian?
Okay, I'm sure. Okay, sure.
Fuck.
Sure. If we don't win this game, then it's a bit of a disgrace. We should win.
Absolutely. And I'll be clowning you if you don't.
Yeah, sure. But I'm going to clown you right now. Don't watch the game then. If it's a write-off, don't fucking watch.
No, of course I'll be fucking watching.
No, you just said it's a write-off.
I'll be supporting my team.
No, you said it's a write-off.
At minute one, I'll be like, let's fucking go. I'll be delusional at kickoff. Don't you worry. No. But I don't come on here being delusional. So I'm saying that I have little to no expectations in that game. And if we do lose that, as long as it's not embarrassingly, then I'll be okay. As long as, again... The performance is at least a little bit there.
Why aren't you taking this as a compliment? Like
exactly. That is a compliment to you and how good Arsenal is. You are one of, if not the like in the best form in the world right now, besides maybe Liverpool.
Liverpool, Barca.
Barca, not even, what are you bro. Talking about?
Okay, it's been two games, lads. I was like, come on.
Form is short term. That's what form is.
Classes.
Class is permanent.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anywho. Little FPL roundup.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Somebody bring it up.
Whose job is that?
Antoine, you did it well last week. You can go again if you want.
Oh, I love you.
That's 75 minutes in. This has been a good pod so far.
Mm-hmm. Has been good pod. Only 75? Oh.
That's an hour 20, pretty much. That's like...
I feel like it felt like longer, but I guess not. All right.
All right.
Pretty high-scoring week, I'd say, all around for the six-yard box.
For sure.
Let's start with last place of the week. Bro. Last place in the standings. 64
all
points.
All I'm saying is, you this did, week. I freaking knew the minute I brought Mateus Cunha in, I freaking knew he wasn't going to bag. And he also has great fixtures coming up, which is why I brought him in.
Yep.
Which is why I brought him in.
It's good that you're analyzing fixtures.
That's what I'm saying.
That is good. That's more than good. What...
So, and it was for Vardy. Like, am I?
No, yeah, of course.
Like, absolutely. It's okay, guys. Holland's going, but Holland's not going soon because they have good fixtures coming up.
Holland's got to go. Holland 15 million should not for that team. Bro.
Okay.
Anyway, 64 points for Blake. Notable superstars. Saka captain, 36 points. Great captain shout. However, he does not own the two other. Midfielders that went off this week in Cole Palmer and Mohamed Salah. So he actually has the wrong Liverpool player. He has Luis Diaz, who still delivered 6 points for him. Yeah, Andy Robertson for 6 points on the bench. Nicholas Jackson, who you held on to.
Yeah.
6 points again. Bagsman.
So
the rest of the team is a blank.
Like, if you don't have Salah, like, what are you doing at this point? Like, he is, like,
I didn't want to take a four-pointer. In reality,
there's some players that you
can I be honest though? Can I be honest? I backed City to get one goal against Liverpool. That was my thing. I didn't know if Salah was going to score. I hoped that Luis Diaz got the better end of the goal sheet.
How much would you bet City to score? But you should. What did you back Salah to do in that game? Because it should be a lot higher.
I know, but then I would have had to take a. I would have had to take a hit.
You have one free transfer right now.
But now you know what to do. So,
what is your route to getting Salah in right now?
Because you have to take a hit.
You're selling Haaland and a midfielder.
It's fine. I take a hit, guys. It's whatever.
Let's move on to second or to third place this week. It's roll of the dice.
Yeah.
Mr. Julian Bencourt.
Not my proudest.
67
week,
so. Points this week. Got effed up because Saka is not in his team, but Mohamed Salah captains.
Yeah, how do you not have Saka either?
I actually planned to bring in Saka, but
I planned to bring in Salah, but I didn't, and you didn't.
No, I had a schedule around. So what was I gonna do? I might just sell Mbeumo and bring in Saka.
Yeah, I think Mbeumo might be a sell soon.
Yeah.
Anyways, Mohamed Salah's captain for 26 points made it seem like not owning Saka was not that bad of a decision.
There's definitely a solid premium three that you want right now, and absolutely. It does not include Haaland.
Cole Palmer for 14 points as well on there. Gabriel with a goal. Is he injured now? No, he's good. All right.
We'll have Arteta in the press conference going, it doesn't look good. Yeah. And then he'll play.
And then he'll play. 67 points for Julian this week. Second place this week. I'm really not doing well here. No more Mr. Nice Guy, Mr. Miles Albergas, keeping his third place in the general standings. Onana for six. Is looking like a very good transfer.
So low lucky, key, bro.
Low key.
So fortunate.
And I'm only saying this because he's not here. If he was here, I'd be saying, I'd still be hating on him.
Can you see who he brought in?
This
is always my favorite part of the week, who Miles brought in.
Miles,
it's always
I don't
like,
think he brought anyone in.
This is what I appreciate from you guys. I feel like you know I'm a better FPL player than him, clearly. I just had such a terrible start that like it's so hard to get back.
Because you attach onto players emotionally and then translate that into thinking they're going to do well in FPL.
He brought in Gabriel this week.
Oh, wow.
For Trent.
Oh, wow.
Trent not a Gabriel, bad move. Not a bad move, even though I think Trent got a clean sheet as well. But Gabriel, 9 points. That's three more points than Trent. Not too bad. Apart from that, Saka captain. Great decision there.
Yep.
And everybody else blanked, but he still managed to get 73 points from that. He's in third place in the overall standings. Blake is fourth. Let me tell you how many points Blake has.
It's like 50 points now.
671 for Blake, 722.
Told you. 50
for
points.
Miles. 50 points.
I lost my 40 points.
First place this week and first place overall. Macaroni and cheese. Once again, you know the deal. Flecking in net for a blank. Gabriel, 9 points. Saka, Palmer, captain. and Salah all on the team. Isak very disappointed this week, but he'll might bounce take a back minus for sure.
This week. Fuck.
78 points this week, 300K overall. Shout out to
Blake for reminding everyone about the...
Shout out to Blake for saving macaroni and cheese this week.
You're welcome.
Oh, you were going to forget.
100%.
Because you guys helped me, so I have
I love you.
Love you too.
Macaroni and cheese.
See, that's like donating to the rich. Like, you just... Like, why?
Because he's a
you want to catch up to him.
I was talking to the manager, and he told me that he was very grateful for Shia Badia Shield's manager. So...
Okay. So, like, maybe there's a... A potential
link up there.
Yeah.
Potential merging.
I'm down.
I heard there was some drones floating around in the
train. You bitch.
I'm hearing the manager of Shibata Yashili just went to coaching school and is now really locking into FPL this year. Is that true?
Yeah. The sources tell me that.
Notably from one restaurant after class. with macaroni and cheese's manager last year, I think.
Definitely turning point. I think there was a picture taken of the two managers. Obviously, it was a big meetup.
Uh-huh.
And
the media loved it, for sure.
I'm sure they shared a lot of things. Yeah. And obviously, it hasn't translated at the start.
Uh-huh.
But I think that was more of a bit of misfortune in there.
Absolutely.
Bit of stubbornness in there as well.
100%.
So there's like...
And that's what ultimately comes with experience, making those right decisions, not thinking... Right. With the cock.
Right.
With the what?
With the cock.
What?
Because your brain wants you to captain Saka. Your heart wants you to captain Palmer. But your cock tells you to captain fucking Isak. You know what I mean? I'm just translating. I'm just translating from macaroni and cheese. That's what he told me in the press conference.
For the longest time, I thought he was talking about like a chicken or something. Like,
I know.
Look, macaroni and cheese is a hell of a character.
Also, who says cock? That's like a...
That's a crazy word.
No.
I'm more of a dink user myself.
Thanksgiving.
Fair.
I feel like this is more of a dick country.
Oh, fair.
Anyways. Yeah, boys. I think that about does it for this episode of the Six Hair Box podcast. Also, as you mentioned, Vardy, I have to remember, shout out Ruud van Nistelrooy, who is now Leicester manager.
Who is 0-1.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening to another episode of the show. We appreciate you very, very much. And we will catch you back here next week. Enjoy the football. And Blake, see us off.
We out.
See ya.